House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 24, 2015, the 29th day of the session. Our next deadline will be Friday the 27th, that's this Friday, which is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee. Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
here.
Pelkey, Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pennell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harshman excused, 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral in Cheyenne.
Father DeSmith, or Black Robe as the Indians called him, was one of the greatest figures in the history of the Indian-white relations in America far west. For many reasons does he deserve such credit, the extent of the country in which he worked and held influence, the length of his influence during this period of more than 30 years, from 1838 to 1870, the difficult period in which he worked, a critical one of Indian uprisings, and the great degree to which he exercised his personal influence to both the Indians and the whites. He held the role of peacemaker in important gatherings such as the Fort Laramie Council of 1851. Let's pray. Lord God, we just praise you and thank you for the many works, all your creation. We ask you to bless this legislative body to always work together in promoting peace and justice between all peoples that live in this great state of Wyoming. Lord, help us to see your image in each person. Amen.
Representative Eklund.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you, sir. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce some constituents of mine. The Burns FFA chapter is up visiting the Capitol. Their advisor, Mr. Spatz, is a brother to our own Wendy Harding, and he teaches these young people. There are some officers. I believe all of the freshmen, or as many could make it, are here, and the Parley Pro team. And people complain about not having good help these days. Well, I don't have to look very far to get good helpers. Dustin Peters up there, he's a freshman, and he's my hired hand. So, let's welcome him to the House.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
Yes, please proceed.
I'd like to introduce the page of the day, Kevin Milburn. He's from Casper. He's 15 years old. He's a freshman at Kelly Walsh High School and has a 3.8 GPA. And he happens to like politics a whole lot. He's helped several people in Natrona County with their campaigns through the years. He loves history. He also he's on the varsity forensics team, debate team at NCHS, and he competes in Congress in public forum for the debate team. And he just actually, a couple weeks ago, went to the 41st Annual Forensics Tournament at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, representing NCHS there. He's also an ambassador for People to People, loves to hunt and fish, and anything that has to do with his history. And his mother and father, Jeff and Andy Milburn, are up in the gallery up there, and if they'd wave to us, we could welcome them to the House, and with a warm welcome. Thank you. I've got to recant something here real quick. He's a freshman at NCHS. That was a really bad thing for me to say. please forgive me.
Representative Laux, I was about to call you on that myself. Being an NCHS graduate myself. Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have the pleasure, Representative Halverson and I do, of introducing a group that came in from Star Valley, from Star Valley Middle School. The area where we have lots of blue ribbon schools for the Education Committee. I will introduce the adults, and I'll have Marty introduce the students to you. We have up there in our galleries, you'll notice on back and on the side here, we have Kim Kazare. Principal of our middle school. We have Mark Johnson.
There.
Up there, okay, teacher. Scott Milne. And Blair Hillstead.
Hey, Blair.
Blair.
Yay, the bus driver.
And our students who came all the way over from Star Valley, Jacob Carlisle, Josie Curry, Koa DeLong, Micah Dickey, Chloe England, Shay Erickson, Reese Fulmer, Kaylee Johnson, Abby Neild, Scott Orton, Tom Shumway, Navy Southam, Kylie Speakman, Abby Thompson, Trey Waldron, Robert Choma, Jet Jenkins, and Kaylee Merritt. Welcome to the House.
Hey!
Welcome to the House. Journal report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 23, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representative Schwartz and Steinmetz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 9. Mr. Speaker, the Senate has completed consideration of the budget bill, House Bill 1, In accordance with JR 14-1G, the bill has been referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members to meet with the like committee from the House to report recommended amendments for final consideration by both houses with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1 and Senate File 1, and the amendments thereto. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 288. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 17. The Senate conferees are Senator Hastert, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 289. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed the Senate conferees to meet with like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 1. The Senate conferees are Senator Ross, Chairman, Senator Burns, Senator Hastert, Senator Perkins, and Senator Wasserberger, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 290. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed the Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 42. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Pappas, Senator Scott, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 291. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 154. The Senate conferees are Senator Meyer, Chairman, Senator Hicks, Senator Von Flattern, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 292, Mr. Speaker, Senate Joint Resolution number 2, Investment of State Funds. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated, noes 23, excuse 7. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day is Christina Berenger from Cheyenne. Please welcome her to the House. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us this morning in the House is Miss Wyoming, Jessie Allen. Jessie was born and raised on a ranch near Lander, spending every summer on her family guest ranch in the Wind River Mountains. She graduated in the top 10 of her class from Lander Valley High School in 2008 and went on to study at the University of Wyoming on a full academic scholarship and was on the UW dance team. She's also the daughter of our very own Representative Allen. Jessie, welcome to the House, and after the applause that I'm sure is coming, please, we'd love to hear a few words from you.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here. I drove down from Sheridan yesterday, and I haven't been back down to Cheyenne since January. I came down to see you all be sworn in, to cheer on my dad, but I've been keeping pretty busy since then, so this is my first time being back in Cheyenne. But I have been keeping up with the news and hearing a bit from my dad, and it seems as if this has been a very productive session and a very hardworking group of legislators. So I want to first just start by expressing my sincere gratitude for all that you're doing for our state to keep us strong, and your work is not going unnoticed or unappreciated. I appreciate the service that you are doing for our state. I too am in the midst of my year of service. I was crowned Miss Wyoming 2014 in Sheridan, which is where I live now, in May. And then I went to Miss America in September, which was in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We were there for 2 weeks, which a lot of people don't realize. It's more than just that one night on television. We were there for 2 weeks doing a very strict schedule of appearances and events and rehearsals and whatnot. And there was also the preliminary competitions, which started with the interview, a 10-minute interview with our panel of judges. Mine was very politically heavy, which I was comfortable with, though, and I felt like I represented Wyoming very well in my interview. And then we went on to do the evening gown competition, the lifestyle and fitness and swimsuit and talent. I looked into getting a horse on stage for my talent, but they wouldn't allow it, so I had to settle for a contemporary jazz dance, which was okay too. But the scholarship money that I earned for Miss America will help me go toward grad school now, which is very exciting. And something I'm looking forward to. But since coming back from Miss America, I went back up into the mountains for a few more pack trips and then got on the road as Miss Wyoming. So I'll give you just an idea of what it is that I'm doing, the message that I'm sharing as I go around the state throughout my year. Every title holder has to choose a platform, and mine, it was really easy for me to choose my platform, my message to share with kids as I go around the state. I titled it Explore Nature's Playground, and it was easy for me because it goes back to my upbringing of being raised in the mountains outside of Lander on my family's guest ranch. We live at 9,200 feet in the mountains without electricity every summer, so when I was little, I'd spend my days out playing in my forts or riding bareback down to the creek to fish or, you know, build go-karts. Whatever it was, I was outdoors all day, every day, and I experienced the benefits, you know, learning of responsibility and independence and creativity. That was completely rooted in my outdoor lifestyle, and I started guiding pack trips when I was 13 and still continue to guide trips at the ranch every summer. And so as I go around the state sharing my platform with these kids, I like to get them excited about that outdoor play, but also to encourage the families to be able to facilitate those opportunities for kids to get out into nature. And I was pretty proud of the way that I went to Miss America. I lived true to my platform. From the time I was crowned Miss Wyoming until the time I stepped on the Miss America stage, I didn't step foot in a gym, I didn't work with a trainer, I didn't go on a restrictive diet. How many pageant girls can say that? None of the other girls there could even relate to the lifestyle I have in the mountains, but I wanted to represent the Wyoming way, the Wyoming lifestyle, and to be able to showcase that on the Miss America stage. So I was pretty proud to be able to do that. Another message that I share as I go around to the high schools especially is to tell these young kids to embrace opportunities for growth, to get out of their comfort zone and be as well-rounded as possible. I especially got involved in FFA. I'm really excited to see that there's FFA kids here today because in high school I took advantage of everything. I was in student council and FFA and cheerleading and dance. But FFA especially helped me grow so much, and I went on to become a Wyoming State FFA officer. So I traveled around the state speaking in schools, speaking at banquets and events, and that's what eventually kind of encouraged my idea to become Miss Wyoming. But it also opened up other opportunities. It was because my experience in FFA that I was able to interact with the Public Lands Council, who put on they put out an email inviting students to apply for this position to go to Washington, D.C. to be a part of their session and to see it firsthand. They wanted young people to experience that, which I thought was awesome, and those opportunities should be taken advantage of. So I applied, and I was chosen as that student. So I went out to D.C., and it was because of that experience that I decided to apply for an internship with Congresswoman Cynthia Lummis. And that, too, which I was selected for, was such an incredible experience to be able to live in D.C., see the government process from that firsthand view. And so when I go to these schools, that's kind of what I tell them, is to just embrace these opportunities because one thing may lead to another. After I graduated from UW, I went on to travel in New Zealand for 4 months. I did a 30-day Knowles Wilderness Backpacking course. For those of you who don't know, that's National Outdoor Leadership School. So I spent 30 days backpacking through the mountains of the South Island of New Zealand. And then after that, I spent 3 months working on various farms in exchange for food and accommodations. So I worked on a dairy farm, a couple different sheep stations. I trained Clydesdales, did a lot of cool things in another country, just living out of my backpack on my own as a young 21-year-old girl. And so these types of opportunities are what I encourage kids to take advantage of. And I was able to do that because I graduated from the University of Wyoming on full scholarship, and I didn't have to worry about paying off debt right away. And then this past winter, I went to Thailand to become a yoga teacher. Like I said, just always looking for new opportunities for growth, and I plan to go on to grad school to get my MBA and potentially take over our family's guest ranch. So we'll see. give him a little nudge. But that, you know, that platform is what I share. And I have been really busy around the state. I counted yesterday, and I thought it would be more. I've been to about 20 towns and into the schools and different events and be the guest speaker at various functions. But a lot of those towns I've gone to multiple times. But by the end of my year in May, on May 30th is when I give up my crown. So I hope to get to every county by that point. And so if you have any ideas or any things that you would want me to be a part of, I would love to do that because that's why I'm here. This is my job for the year. I don't get paid. I am doing this completely on my own, and I want to be as busy as possible. I'll once in a while ask for a little help with gas if they invite me to appearances, but otherwise it's on, you know, this is just what I want to be doing, and to use this as a microphone to share a good message and to inspire people to challenge themselves and go for their dreams a little bit. So thank you again for allowing me to be here, and thank you for all that you're doing to keep Wyoming strong, and keep my dad in line, will you?
Jesse, thank you for joining us today. The Wyoming House thanks you for representing the Cowboy State as Miss Wyoming and wishes you the best of luck in your future endeavors. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 55, the Omnibus Water Billing Plan. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 56, Engrossed, Study on Management of Public Lands. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 57, Engrossed School Facilities Appropriations. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 59, Engrossed Speed Limits. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 133, Engrossed Bighorn Sheep Relocation. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Harshman, Moniz, and Stepson. Those who voted no, Representatives Burkhardt, Greer, Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 138, Engrossed Small Business Innovation Research Matching Funds. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do not pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Greer, Moniz, and Nicholas. Those who voted no, Representatives Connolly, Harshman, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 88, Engrossed Emergency Care, Stroke, and Acute Heart Attack Patients. respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom it referred Senate File 90, engrossed, Medicaid, Chiropractor Services-2, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Edmonds, Harvey, Larson, and Schwartz. Those who voted no, Representatives Baldwin, Dayton, Kasparik, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 145, engrossed, Hospital Uncompensated Care, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasparik, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Referrals, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 145 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 145 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're now at that order of business, a request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 285 on House Bill 15. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 285 on House Bill 15, and I'm going to ask for your no vote. This is restoration of voting rights by the Department of Corrections, and what the bill does is makes it an automatic process after the person has served their time, including parole. What the Senate has done is they struck one of the repealers that greatly affects the bill. Back on page 10 of the bill, they struck the statute that requires the person to wait 5 years. We were striking it in the bill. They put it back in, so we need to go talk about it. So I ask for your no vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 15. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz. Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton excused, Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pennell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
Allen. Allen excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 2 aye, 56 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to the House Bill 15. Next order of business is consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. And ladies and gentlemen, I think some of you had a calendar that indicated the concurrence would be on House Bill 3. That's incorrect. It's on House Joint Resolution 3. were considering Joint Conference Committee Report number one on House Joint Resolution 3, Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you Joint Conference Committee Report on message number 242 and ask for your aye vote, and I am going to vote aye this time, just so you know. What we did, we met with the Senate, and we came up with the following compromise. The main problem we had was this is on the House Joint Resolution on free roaming wild horses. They changed everything in the that particular resolution to say feral rather than horse, and we had a problem with that. But as we went back and studied this, and the reason we had a problem was that we thought on the federal level they referred to everything as wild, not feral. And we weren't sure there were messages to get across. So as we met with the Senate, we were going through the statute, we found out that Wyoming does define it as feral in certain sections of our statutes. And by doing so, we kind of wanted to put a little push back towards the federal government. So we made this following compromise on line one, page one, line six. We're going to insert, whereas Wyoming has recognized the Wild and Free Roaming Horses and Burro Act of 1971, and free roaming horses are defined as feral under our statutes, and then we'll leave all feral throughout that resolution. Page 5, line 10, after West, insert at the appropriate management level, just to help them to understand that we want them to manage the wild horses at the appropriate management level, which they're not doing at this time. Page 6, line 18, insert and on page 6, line 19, we've increased the number of people we want to send this resolution to include the Secretary of the Interior, the Director of the Federal Bureau of Land Management, and the Director of the Wyoming Office of the Bureau of Land Management. With that, Mr. Speaker, call for the aye votes.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill, House Joint Resolution 3. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen excused. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker, Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you've adopted Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to House Bill, House Joint Resolution 3. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 17 from Senator Bebout, an act relating to public works and contracts.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 43 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to telecommunications.
Senate File 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 54 from Corporations, an act relating to elections.
There is an amendment. Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm bringing an amendment to this bill. The amendment will be page 1, line 9. I think you probably have that amendment. We're adding, we're inserting, amending time limits for the changing of party affiliation. Page 7, line 2, we're striking primary or. The reason that I am bringing this amendment is to stop any manipulation of elections at the primary. And I'll stand for any questions.
Discussion on the amendment.
I guess I need to move the amendment, sir.
Thank you, Representative Blackburn. I missed that. Would you please move the amendment? Representative Blackburn, would you please move it?
Yes, sir. I'll move the amendment.
And you're moving second reading amendment number 1. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Second amendment reading number 1. It's not on there.
To
Senate File 54.
Thank you. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier in this session, the sponsor of this amendment had brought a bill to the Appropriations Committee, which was a kind of a comprehensive rework, and there was quite a bit of testimony concerning some issues in certain jurisdictions with people changing their party affiliation in the primaries for less than true reasons. And the bill failed on its first attempt, and I think some of the comments from the legislators were, hey, really, all you need to do to fix this problem is in 225214 is strike primary. And so the bringer of the amendment did just that and brought that to you today, I think, to correct what has been a problem in some jurisdictions or some districts. So I'm looking at this thinking that an individual should know what their affiliations are. We have a process for 14 days before the primary. They can change their affiliation if they should desire. I come from a district where the primary basically holds, at least for the last several cycles, the primary for all the local or county offices has been just where the contest was held. And so I told the sponsor of the bill I'd get up and kind of help a little bit with the explanation of why that's here, and I'd encourage your aye vote because I think it fixes the problem and we don't need to address it in another piece of legislation.
Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment, and I would push back that says we do need to address this in another piece of legislation. This is our election code revision bill, which, I mean, arguably is to just fix inconsistencies in the last election. This is actually a major policy change, and historically, at least in my time here, we've never put kind of a major policy change in the state in the revision of the election code bill, which is generally brought forward just to clean up the election statutes if we find any thing that needs to be cleaned up. This, I believe, is a significant shift and should go through the proper process, and I understand the bringer brought it as a bill, and it was not successful in that committee, but I guess I don't appreciate it trying to be amended into a revision bill. But it's a conversation we can certainly have in this body. I just don't think this is the right place for it.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier, we were given instructions not to saw sawdust, so all I'm going to say is I'm rising in support of this amendment. Thank you.
Bless you, Representative Gay. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment. This will indeed start a much-needed conversation. I testified in front of the committee that heard this bill and have pretty much found every way possible to get around it. But I do support this amendment. I support the start of this conversation. So I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in support of this amendment. I'm, like Representative Gay, I'll be very brief about it. On and for.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is not a conversation. This is policy on and against.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate some of the comments that have been brought forward, but this is the place where policy is made. This is the kind of legislation in which it is made, and I appreciate that opportunity, and that's the reason why we have debate on this floor.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I guess I'd like to know what the policy we're trying to address is, where the abuse is, where the issue is. Let's have that discussion. Let's not just say, we got to do this. Let's find out what the problems are that we're going to address it in this amendment. And if we can't do it in this amendment, bring it as a third reading, and then we'll have the full discussion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I just have a question to understand the amendment a little better. Is the thought process that you no longer have the option to change your mind before a primary election?
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I am opposed to restrictions on how people want to vote. Let them vote.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think a couple of years ago I tried to bring a bill similar to what the sponsor of this amendment brought, and if you've ever tried to read through the language that it does, it just seems very complex and convoluted. And this is just a real fairly simple fix to the problem that he's trying to address. I think it's a good place to put it.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'll just reiterate the historical, not that I should reference the other body, but we've tried that bill many times before, and it never seems to pass the whole process, shall we say. And so attaching it onto this bill, which should be a revision bill, which is a committee bill that the committee brings every 2 years, it would cause some turmoil, but if that's the will of this body, I guess we can go fight for that amendment in the bill, and we can report back after conference and see what happens. But I have a pretty strong foreshadowing of what will happen.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, I'll try to answer some of the questions. To the representative from North, I can only speak for my own district, and we do see people switching at the primary to vote for one party or the other to bolster that vote. To the representative for where the sun dances all around where I don't know, my answer to you, sir, is there are two other spots available for them, and I'm not limiting their availability to vote 14 days before on the general election, but not on the day of the primary. I stand for the question.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 54. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All in favor, please stand. Has to pass. They can't not pass. We only got 59. Second reading amendment number one to Senate file Senate file 54 has passed. Senate file 54 having been read two separate times, the question is shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 59, the reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 59 from Appropriations, an act relating to Wyoming Public Television.
Senate File 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 65. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 65 from Senator Kinski, an act relating to banking.
Senate File 65, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 82. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 82 from Senator Scott, an act relating to Funeral Service Practitioners Act.
Senate File 82, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 84 from Senator Flattern, an act relating to geological sequestration.
Senate File 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 97. The reading clerk will read the file.
Senate File 97 from Senator Meyer, an act relating to telecommunications.
Senate File 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 111. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 111 from Senator Perkins, an act relating to the Wyoming Probate Code.
Senate File 111, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 120. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 120 from Senator Ross, an act relating to the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act.
Senate File 120, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Conference Committee on House Bill 154. Kirkbride, Chair, Kasparik, and Allen. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 18, 29, 42, 62, and 137.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 18 from Senator Case, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 29 from Transportation, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 42 from Revenue, an act relating to the administration of government, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 62 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to health insurance, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 137 from Senator Meyer, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stebson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harvey? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 18, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 29, are there any changes? Sponsor Dave, aye to no. Reader, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 42, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Barlow, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 10 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 137, are there any changes? Are there Madden? Aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Senate Files 18, 29, 42, 62, and 137 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 81. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 81 from Senator Johnson, an act relating to public health, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment number one to the House bill.
Senate File 81.
Senate File 81. Thank you, sir. This bill, this amendment basically goes back and removes the amendment that was passed yesterday. Talking to some folks outside the House here, it would definitely eliminate the program as it as far as a lot of counties not being able to get involved in it. So I look at restoring the original bill and would hope that you would consider voting this amendment in favor of. So I'm going to let my colleague speak a little more, and then I'll talk at the end. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify a little bit, that the second reading amendment that was brought and passed by this body is what we're deleting. The original amendment from the Good Appropriations Committee said that they didn't want these funds used for training. Okay. Well, the second reading amendment said, no, we don't want these funds also used for maintaining and keeping up with equipment throughout the counties. And that's where we run into the problem. That's where some of these local sheriff's departments have come out and said they won't get involved. It's impossible for them to do. These smaller counties do need this money if they're going to adopt this program. It is a good program. It could save lives, without a doubt. For those comments that had previously said, you know, they're going to save money because they don't have to mount up a search and rescue team. Well, mounting up a search and rescue team up in the northeast corner of the state where I'm from, it doesn't involve mounting up a helicopter or anything like that. It involves calling your neighbors. Those people aren't getting paid anyways. So the amount of money saved is a moot point. If we need them to adopt this lifesaver program, it's going to save lives. But more importantly, with this amendment, and I'm on and for this amendment, we can actually allow them to be able to work on this equipment, maintain this equipment, and keep it up to date. These small counties need this funding. I appreciate an aye vote.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. I think the discussion about making this available to more counties is a little bit misplaced, because the way it is set up with the second reading amendment in place, you have counties that can come in, get their initial grant, get the program up and funded, and then, of course, the next county can come in and do the same thing. If you take this out, and what you're doing is actually saying, okay, this is going to be an ongoing grant program. When you get your first grant, we fully expect you to come in the second year and make another grant application. We're going to fund that. And then the third year, and we're going to fund that. And so what you have is those counties that are first in line will come in, and then they'll be in this grant program for the foreseeable future, I guess. And then the rest of the counties are either left out, or we're going to come back in here and discuss ever-growing appropriations for a responsibility that the state will have to increasingly take on. And so I think the way it's set up actually creates the most opportunity for the most number of counties to come in and actually participate in the program. And, you know, I think this discussion is good. It brings clarity to what this is all about. Do we want this to be a program that helps facilitate and gets counties in a position where they can get this program set up and move forward with it? Or do we want the state to step in and become the guarantor of this program and to become the funder of this program across the state? I of course, am not willing. I don't have any doubts that this is a good program, and in fact, I've been involved in fundraising efforts for this similar program in my own county. But if you don't want this to become an additional ongoing state responsibility, I would just urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, you know that the two counties that have it are the two largest counties. No. County with number one on their plate, county with number two on their plate. And they do have other resources. It's those other smaller counties that don't. But this is how fast it could change in your county. And we never really talked about it at the beginning in committee of the whole. Why is the bill named Kevin's Law now, not Lifesaver? Well, Kevin was a third-year law student, was in a car wreck, now has acquired brain injury. So he can go into a bathroom in a restaurant, come back out, not know where he's at. We had a bad accident that took eight lives from a cross-country team at the University over the Hill. They would have survived. Every county that they were from would have probably have someone that would have been in Kevin's position. And I think that if you think about the families in your districts, your communities, you probably know someone that would be a good applicant for this program. And I think it stays within the triangle of what government's supposed to be: health, welfare, and safety of the citizens. And you can't get any better than this. It saves lives. It saves money. And let's get it back to the Senate in close to what the original version is. I urge your aye vote.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. Aye on the amendment, mostly aye on this bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Limholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to provide a little bit of pushback on the notion that some of these counties are just going to soak up the grant money, and they're going to continually soak it up year after year. Grants go through a process where they got to be vetted. You got to prove why you need that amount of money and how much you need. All grants do that. You've got to show up and testify on this stuff, and you got to prove just cause. It's going to be pretty hard for them to prove just cause and why they would need new receivers every year. I understand the initial setup cost, but what we're looking at here is replacement batteries, replacement bands, those types of things. Those build up costs, and that's what people are going to continually, these counties are going to continually need a little help with. This could be a great program, and I think with the second reading amendment, I think it sets it up for failure down the road. And I'd urge your aye vote on this amendment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the argument is made that, you know, those counties that initially get into the program won't be the only counties that are eligible for it, but there's nothing in this bill that provides that. Right now, this bill it provides exactly that. And, in fact, it provides one part of the amendment we added requires local governments to come in and show the local resources that they have available to support the ongoing program, to support that it is sustainable. And yet the proposed amendment now would take that out. And so what you end up with is exactly that, a recipe for a few counties to benefit and a number of counties to be left out in the cold unless this body comes back and appropriates substantially more dollars. I would say that if you want a healthy, ongoing program, you do one where you have local governments that can come in with a plan to keep this going. If they don't have a plan, why are we giving them money? I would, again, urge your no vote on the amendment.
Anyone else for a second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Pinnell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Initially, when this bill came, was initiated, the funding has been cut in half already. So with this amendment that was put on yesterday, it basically limits the time frame to where at the end of this year it's over with. So I would urge you to support the amendment for the simple fact that give it some time. Let's see how it will work. If down the road that we think that the money is not being spent wisely, we can always go back in and take another look at it. But here again, Homeland Security is the one that's going to be managing this fund, and they'll be if the individual counties that put in for it don't come up with the proper procedure or process of showing why they need this, Homeland Security can reject that. So I think what we're doing now is by if we allow that amendment that we had yesterday to continue, it may kill this bill as far as counties being able to get involved in it. Remember, this bill does save lives. It's proven. We've seen that. And also, it does save money. It will save money in the long run. If you look at the search and rescue operations that are out there, they're very expensive, and they take a lot of time. And sometimes, with this bill that we have in front of us here, it cuts down the time enormously because you can get on scene to where the individual was last seen or reported missing and contract that individual fairly quickly. So I would urge your support on this amendment and ask you to vote yes. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 81. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Division being called. All in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number one has failed. Senate file E1 having been read three separate times, the question is shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen, Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Blake, Burkhart, Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton excused, Paxton, Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Steinmetz, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 18 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 81, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 81 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 103 from Senator Scott. An act relating to the separation of bicycles and motor vehicle traffic on state highways and other roads, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 103 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you will recall, the task force that is part of this bill includes a number of gubernatorial appointments, and there has been some folks that have expressed interest into having a voice on this task force, and I think it's worth having that voice, especially given some of the discussions we've had on this floor about some of the interests of both the transportation business and ag and being other folks that use the roads and making sure that there's a consistent and approach for bicycles and one that meets with their needs as well. So I would just urge your aye vote on it and then your aye vote on the bill.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 103. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 103 has passed. Senate File 103, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart,
no.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
no.
Connolly, Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 29 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 103, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the House. Well, wait a minute. How many did it get?
30.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Senate File 103, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House. Senate File 103 has failed to pass the House. Thank you for that. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 106. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 106 from Senator Landon, an act relating to alcoholic beverages, enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There are two amendments. We're going to consider the amendments in the reverse order that they're numbered. So we'll consider third reading amendment number two first and third reading amendment number one last. Representative Cohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 106 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Members, I just wanted to highlight that the amendment that we saw in second reading was a fair compromise on this bill, and it was a fair way to proceed. There's a lot of uncertainty about this powdered alcohol. There's a lot of unknowns about it, and I think it's an appropriate middle ground to say, let's not sell it in Wyoming. Let's not sell this product. Let's take out the fines, the penalties for possession or for use, and let's see how it goes. And let's see what the other states do. Let's see what the ramifications and the results of just this getting out into the marketplace. So that being said, and not wanting to file a delete the enacting clause and wanting the members to see that this amendment really is a fair compromise, I would urge an aye vote on the bill as is, and we'll withdraw this if at the appropriate time, which may be right now. But
discussion on the amendment, Representative Burkhart.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Just ditto to those comments.
Chairman Miller, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the gentleman from Cody's comments that it did improve the bill. They won't be able to confiscate your assets if you're caught with powdered alcohol in your car if we leave that on there, and he does indeed withdraw his amendment. But I still have a basic problem with the bill, and I'm going to go ahead and talk now, and I'll withdraw my amendment when I get there. So if anyone else wants to talk, they need to do it now. Basically,
Chairman Miller, hang on just a second. Let's see what we're doing here. Representative Cohn, are you withdrawing your amendment or not?
Not at this time, okay. Mr. Speaker.
But we're on the amendment, Chairman Miller. Could you help me out, please, and stay on the amendment, and we'll, in due course, we'll deal with this, and then you have an amendment coming.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I will wait.
Thank you. Any other discussion on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 106? And Representative Crone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would withdraw third reading amendment number 2.
Okay, thank you. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 106 has been withdrawn. We're now on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 106. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 106, and we'll withdraw it after a chance for everyone to discuss this bill if they want to. Basically, you know, we're doing something here that, you know, I don't like. It's an alcohol product. We haven't banned alcohol. It's regulated. You have to be 21 to buy this stuff. You know, I don't get it. I don't know why we're doing this. I can think of a lot of other things we probably shouldn't be doing either, but we're not going out and making them illegal. You know, there's we talked about the small one-ounce bottles of alcohol that are, frankly, just as concealable as this particular product. There's a product out there called Whipahol that is apparently sweet cream, sweetened with alcohol products. There's these Jello shots. Are we going to ban all this stuff too? I haven't used either one of those products, but again, the list is probably endless if we want to do it this way. You know, just ban 1 ounce bottles of alcohol too. Maybe 5 ounce bottles. Maybe those ones that kind of conform to your pocket and in the hip. You can really sneak those into stadiums. So again, on and against the bill, and I'll withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time.
Representative Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask you to please pass this bill. There's problems I can see. I'm holding in my hand a Bic pen, and being the mischievous kind of kid that I was able to dissemble the, just take it apart in school and use it for a spitwad shooter. So I look at that extra void space in there, and I think about powdered alcohol, and I think about the possibilities of filling that void space with some powdered form, and that I'd like to keep that out of schools. So I'm just saying, let's not give this a foothold at all in the state. Let's keep it out of schools. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also had some of the same thoughts that the last representative spoke about. In fact, I've got a pocket in my jacket that could fit a bottle of alcohol, liquid alcohol, but yet I don't. What's the difference?
Chairman Zwanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just some basic chemistry on the product as it is now, because it's only got one manufacturer here in America, and we're not importing it from international countries through our current federal regulatory scheme. It takes a lot of this product. It's not enough to fit in a pen or even it's a packet. Think of about the same as a, a fourth of a cup of sugar. I mean, for one alcoholic beverage, this is something that's going to be bulkier than those little bottles. And so while I understand in the future you could find other creative ways through chemistry of making certain alcohols, just the way if you sat through the presentation like I did for an hour at in our nation's capital at one of our conferences, at this time it's just so unlikely that someone A could get drunk from this product. You'd have to spend some real time and effort buying a lot of these expensive packets and mixing them and drinking them, which just doesn't make sense if you're looking for a buzz or something. You buy, cheap alcohol generally, or depending who you are. But depends who you are. So again, I think there are, as of now, it's not coming into the state that we know of. Certainly I haven't heard of any orders attempted to be placed through our liquor division. Perhaps in the next year that would be possible. But for this time, there's a lot of sideboards and parameters in place that allows us not to just flood the marketplace. It hasn't even been offered for commercial sale yet. They're expecting that to possibly happen late spring, early summer, if it even does. those of you who have been following this, you know, it's been on a delay now for a year and a half through federal regulatory mechanisms. They're trying to get through those federal loopholes. And so it may not even be a commercial product in the next year. And so I do think we're being a little hasty in trying to ban it before, you know, it's not even available for purchase. And nor do I think people are importing it illegally into the country at this time.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Honored in support of the amendment. We can what if a bill to death. The fact is there's a bigger picture here. I would vote on the amendment and no on the bill. We have not banned a product that isn't even available in the state yet because we don't want it in the state because what if this? What if that? Well, that's not the point. The bigger picture is banning a product that is legal but isn't for sale yet in Wyoming is just the wrong way to go for this body, and I urge your I vote on the amendment and no on the bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And just for the edification of the body, I'm going to reveal just how gullible I am. When the Senate was discussing this bill, I happened to be in their chambers and saw the powdered alcohol, and they offered me a bite. And quite frankly, it tastes terrible. One spoonful is not enough to get you drunk. I can testify to that. And so just so that you know, a little more information about what you're voting on. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment, I'm going to vote no on this bill. You know, there's an alcohol product out there. It's always clear. It's 190 proof. Should we be banning that? But it's for sale. I can see myself maybe going on a rafting trip and don't want to tie alcohol bottles to the outside of my raft, and maybe this is an alternative. This is a legal product that we sell here. And, you know, maybe it came down to the people selling the liquid version didn't want some competition. I don't know that, but for this amendment, no on that bill. Thanks.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, if we want to ban alcohol, bring a bill to do that. Don't do this one specific product at a time. I withdraw the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 106 has been withdrawn. House Bill 106 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Yeah.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Gagey.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic. Kirkbride. Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen. Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
All
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Wilson? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 30 aye, 29 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 106, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 106 has failed to pass the House. We're now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. Senate File 119, 93, 27, 30, 45, 115, 73, 75, 24, 101, 58, 92, 44, 52, 4, 134, 132, 47, 124, 111, and 142.
Have you heard the motion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Chairman Harshman.
Perfect. Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 119. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 119 from Senator Scott, an act relating to health care facility licensing, authorizing hospice facilities to provide short-term respite care as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye are Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Harvey, Kasperic, Larson, Schwartz, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 119 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the fine sponsor of the bill, Representative Walters.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you today, body, is Senate File 119. And this is a rather simple bill. It just allows for hospice cares or hospice facilities around the state to allow folks to come in for respite care. And this came about a few years ago. There was a little bit of an argument between the federal side and the state side trying to decide whether this was an option at all. And the federal side said it's up to the state, and the state said it's up to the federal side, and so there was a little bit of a tug of war. So with this simple correction, it should allow us to bring Wyoming up to speed to where we can do this. And a couple of reasons why there's some vacant beds currently in the state of Wyoming. Like in 2011 in our county or our community, the average stay was about 61 days. That's down to about 20 days last year. And that's caused by folks staying in their home a little bit longer before heading to hospice care. And then when they leave the home, they go straight to the hospital, and the family holds on hope a little bit longer with advanced medical technologies. They stay there a little longer, and then they head to hospice care for their end-of-life care. And so there is some opening in open beds, and so this would allow those open beds to serve a great purpose. And I turn it over for the Committee of the Whole amendment.
Okay, we have a Committee of the Whole amendment number one, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, if you'll... when we had this discussion, when we had this presentation in the Labor and Health Committee, there was some discussion on whether this respite care would try to, for people that were not terminally ill would try to use other state agency funds or Medicaid or other types of funds. And the testimony we heard was that, no, that that wasn't the intent. And so we thought that we ought to clarify that in the bill. And so if you would look on page 2, line 6, after individuals, will insert this language, and provided that the respite care is paid by the patient or by a third-party payer, not through any, and not through any governmental third-party payment program. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would answer any questions or stand for the question.
Representative Larson, can you move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1?
Mr. Chairman, I would be honored to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 119 and ask you to recall what I just said and then ask for the question.
Any discussion? Question being called. We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 has passed. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, folks, if I could just in a little bit of support here, you know, it was really refreshing. These hospice centers, which just provide an invaluable service to our communities, have, by virtue of the ACA and some other things, found that the usage of their beds aren't what they had anticipated. And so as they looked at what they could possibly do to generate revenue, they realized that in the communities we have a need for respite service. Perhaps we have a member of our family who has dementia or Alzheimer's, but we're taking care of them at home. But may need a place to care for them for a few days or even a week while we take care of business or take a trip or just to have a break. These types of respite services now could be provided for family members or others that in these hospice care centers. So the hospice folks went out and looked in the communities and said, so how could we generate this revenue on our own? And it was just refreshing that they didn't come to us wanting state funds or federal funds. They says, we have this idea we think will work. It's a need in our communities. We just need to change the statute, and now the Department of Health will change a few rules to make sure that it stays in compliance to allow hospice cares to still maintain their Medicaid reimbursement coverage. And so I would strongly encourage you to support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only caution on this bill is buyer beware. Hospice does a wonderful job doing what they do, taking care of the terminally ill. But if you put a patient in there to get a break from whatever other alternative treatment they're under, you can expect to pay $250 a day out of the family's pocket to the hospice. You know, and I'm sure there are some people that are going to have or expect Medicaid to pay that. But those who are not covered by Medicaid, look out. You're going to be paying $250 a day. A week in hospice is going to be right up there at almost $2,000. So buyer beware of what you're getting into. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Folks, the good prior speaker presents some information that is correct. The cost for respite care is not cheap. And so when you go in there with private funds, with your own money, and you're doing this of your own decision, I think that you understand that. And so I think we need to be careful on using the term buyer beware, because you will be getting the services that they're qualified to provide. And it's a wonderful service, and it's great services for those who want it and feel that they can pay for it and have the means to pay for it. And that's why we put the language in there to indicate that it was not from any governmental aid, that it was from private or third-party pay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that the previous, but the speaker before that spoke about you know, buyer beware. I think that one of the things we need to be aware of is that the good work that they do, the services that they provide, are at risk if they can't stay open. We're trying to give them another method, another service that they can provide so that they have an opportunity to fill their beds. It's not a bailout to them. It's just a change in their business model so that they can offer those services and hopefully fill their beds and keep their employees hired and keep doing the good work they do, the hospice work that they do, because they have a way to keep their doors open.
Any other discussion? Representative Walters? Sensing your question being called, all those in favor of Representative Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 119 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 119 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 93. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 93 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to gasoline taxes, providing for a distribution to the Highway Fund for the University Technology Transfer Program as specified, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, one excuse, Representative Northrup, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 93 do pass, and Representative Eklund, a co-sponsor, will explain everything you need to know about it.
Representative Eklund.
Ladies and gentlemen, this bill and concept was brought to us by the County Commissioners Association. They met and agreed that this would make their process of repairing paved county roads more efficient. And if you look in your inbox, you should have a colored piece of paper that'll help us a little bit in understanding what they do. The change that's going to happen to statute is found on page 2, and I'll kind of concentrate on that. And the reason is, if we get very far off of it, we start talking about existing statute that's rather complicated, and I think I can answer some of those questions, but probably not all of them. But the change is, after highway fund, plus an amount not to exceed $150,000 per year, shall first be distributed to the Highway Fund for the University of Wyoming Technology Transfer Program's County Road Inventory Program. What the plan is on these roads, we have a method of analyzing roads and storing data. It lets us know what the road condition is, the thickness of the highways, the rutting, the cracks, and what have you. And the county, through this program, can keep information stored on CDs. There's a private contractor that they hire. He drives down these county roads collecting data. I don't know what the machine does exactly, but it's, whether it's ultrasound or how it analyzes it, but it'll store it on a CD. And then the CD is given over to them. The university, it's called the T-Square program that they work in conjunction with, the university then trains and helps them use the data to make decisions. The decisions would be which county roads to do first, which ones are the rate of deterioration, And it's pretty important to the county to know that. The first year, I think they'll analyze all of the roads, and then every year after that, they'll analyze half of the state. I would answer Stanford questions. I guess what I want to emphasize is this is what the counties would like to do. This is how they're going to analyze their roads, and if we pass this legislation, it makes it a little more efficient for them. Well, one other thing I'll mention that made it kind of confusing. The chairman of revenue and I both have the idea that we ought to combine on page 2, line 12, there's $31,250. We thought we should throw those amounts together. And we soon found out the reason that it was put here and made simplified is that the funding distribution formula is already set up in that previous statute that sets up this fund. So we don't really want to mess with that much. And distribution plan is addressed that way. So I'd stand for questions.
Any questions? Further discussion? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I understand, I think, the concept of the program. What I don't understand is the language that says plus an amount not to exceed $150,000. So how does the state treasurer know what amount to place in the account? Because, I mean, I would assume that this is based on actual work being done by the entity over the hill. So is there a warrant? Is there somewhere else that we actually this is ongoing. This is every year, looks to me like, every year this $150,000 goes to this, up to this. So where do we just keep piling money there and they're only using $50,000 a year? How does the state treasurer know that, and how do we know that this money is being put to the purpose it's needed for and not just being stockpiled? And how does the treasurer know what kind of money to distribute? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Becklin.
Well, I think that this is an amount that will cover things for now. I think year by year it's going to change. There will be some differences in what it costs to analyze roads. My guess is that the first year will be a fairly high cost, and then after that it should be less because they're only going to collect the data every other year after that. But if there is excess money, I'm not sure if they know what the bill will be at the end of or at the beginning of this process. They know that $150,000 will cover it. If there is money left over, then it's going to be distributed in the normal way. Is my guess on how that'll work.
Okay, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Does the Wyoming Highway Department have a program that could also evaluate the roads? And is that a part of a normal service that they give like cities and towns, and I assumed counties at this time?
Representative Becklin.
Yeah, they do, and it's separate from this. They still use a private contractor to check their roads, but they have their own analyzing equipment, and they're already doing this, and I don't believe they receive any real training from the University of Wyoming. That part of the deal is for the counties alone.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, yeah, when it was in committee, I had some questions with it and why we didn't have that type of equipment, and all of my questions were answered by the department itself. The university is the best one to analyze that equipment and analyze the data and keep track of that data for the benefit of our counties and those roads. It's amazing what that equipment does when it maps those, and I also inquired into the competitive nature of who is hired on that, and I was assured that, yes, they do look at it to make sure that we're getting the best deal on the service provided. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a question. I may be a little foggy on this, but as this goes into the distribution of taxes from gasoline and from diesel, and we're just taking this out of gasoline taxes, and I was curious why we're if that's sufficient, or if it was meant to be equally taken out of gasoline and diesel. I don't know that, just was curious, because I don't know that it really matters, but I just was wondering, that's normally the case.
Representative Edwards.
Mr. Chairman, the fund that this is coming out of is county road construction, which is given to the counties by the states, and it is taken back. The counties, when they get that money, they have agreed within them, their own organization, to give it back to do this, where they x-ray, for better lack of words, x-ray the county roads so that they know what the makeup underneath of it is, and then they go back every 2 years to look at the surface of the road. And the program is given to the university, and the information is given back to the county so that they can know what their road shape is, so they know on the county level how to fix their roads, when to fix them, and if you have somebody like the big windmills coming in, they can take a picture of the road before they come in and after they leave to show the counties how much destruction was done by that industry, which is a good project for the counties so that they have an idea and are able to keep up with their roads before they get to the point where they have to do the total reconstruction of those roads. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that I'm reading this right, because on page number 2, lines 14 and 15, when it says not to exceed $150,000 per year, the way I'm reading that would become a $300,000 biennial appropriation that looks like it doesn't actually have any sunset. I just want to make sure that's the case. We just went through a budget process, and if I'm reading that correctly, that is kind of a permanent appropriation. Is that right?
Representative Eklund.
I'm sorry. I may not have made it clear. This money comes out of the 14% for local and county communities out of the fuel tax. It goes into their account, and it belongs to the county, all the counties of the state. This doesn't cost us anything. This is just a way of transferring funds into this program so they can most efficiently use the tax money that they've collected. It doesn't cost the state any. It's not part of our general fund. Oh, and the former speaker, I think your concerns were addressed by the two speakers ago on, I'm trying to remember what, I believe all of the questions are answered. If there are any more, I'll stand for them.
Representative Pownell.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just have a question. Has this been funded before at a lesser amount, and we're asking for an increase then out of that tax base?
Representative Eklund.
I believe so. The first program was a granting process, and that's that $31,250. That made the bill easier because the distribution formulas for the counties was set up under that, but they already have base information that they have, and enough information that they know they want to continue the program, and if we allow it this way, it'll just cost them less to pay for the program.
Representative Freeman.
Just another quick question. Does the university use this as a way of training engineers or other professions?
Representative Eklund.
I'm not sure about engineers. It's mainly used, I believe, to train the counties in understanding the data that they've collected and are on the CDs.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with the recommendation that House Bill, Senate File 93 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Senate File 93 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 27 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to highways designating the Wyoming Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, requiring signage, providing an appropriation, providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee, in number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Walters, and Daves Wanacher, one no vote, Representative Reeder, signed by Representative Daves Wanacher, Chairman, and further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, who respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 27 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I would like to take care of the amendment. This has to do with the Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway. And on page 2, lines 1 and 2, it says the Wyoming Department of Transportation shall install appropriate signage. And then goes on to say with all applicable state and federal laws. What we are adding in there with the consultation of the Veterans Commission. And with that, I would stand for any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For an explanation of the bill, I'll turn it over from the fine representative from District Number 38, Representative Walters.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you today, members, is Senate File 27, which is the Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Memorial Highway. This highway will be designating I-25 from just south of us here at the border all the way north to where it ends up in the northern part of the state there. The reason that it's called the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Highway is because those vets never received a proper welcome home. Many of them were encouraged to show up in their street clothes so that they would not be harassed, as opposed to today where we see many people lining up at airports and wherever else to say thank you for the service of our men and women. This never occurred for these men and women. So that's why we're doing it. Why are we doing it now? This will mark the 50th anniversary of the start of the Vietnam War. In 1968, there was 500,000 troops in the theater. Currently, there's estimated to be about 16,000 troops here, or excuse me, not troops, vets, Vietnam vets here in the state of Wyoming. Wyoming lost about 120 during that conflict. And so this, as I said, this bill establishes the I-25 and that route as the Vietnam Vets Memorial Highway. I will point out that Highway 14 between Powell and Cody is already named the Wyoming Veterans Memorial Highway. And the way the signage on I-25 will work, because it is a federal highway, we'll have a sign at the southern border, we'll have a sign at the northern end, and then the other signs will all be placed at the various rest areas between the southern border and the northern end of the going each direction. This bill does have an effective date of immediately, and the purpose for that is so that we can get the signs in place by the 1st of June, or in early June there, in the 1st of June, as there will be a Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Reunion taking place here in the state of Wyoming, and that's taking place the 4th through the 7th. And so we want to have these signs up as those folks start to come into the state and travel throughout the state. Also during that time, although it's not stated in the bill, we do have a commitment from the department that our electronic signs that go over the top of the highways will also recognize that as the Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, and those will display during that reunion time and also any other time during the year when they have a free moment on that display. And so with that, I would welcome any questions, and I would most importantly ask for your aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Stand in support of this bill. About 3-4 years ago, we passed a bill very similar to this, just proclaiming a day for recognizing especially the Cold War vets. Vietnam was mentioned, especially the Korean, the Gulf, and all vets. And I think the folks that served in that war especially, and some others that were right there in the Cold War, were not received home and not welcomed as they are today. And I think the sponsor did a good job of mentioning. And I think there's some hard feelings, as I did, we passed that other bill a few years ago, and we went to the members of the legislature to get them as co-sponsors. There was still some touchy feelings about that. So I'm thinking this is just one of the things that help let those folks know that didn't get home, welcome home properly, that we care about them and we appreciate their service. So I appreciate this. Thank you.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of this proposal. I happen to be living and working on the West Coast when the Vietnam War came to an end, and it was absolutely ugly the way the veterans were treated when they'd get off a plane, if they were in uniform. It was a real criminal way of treating people that put their lives on the line for our country by some people, not all, but some. But that was an embarrassment, I think, to the military. It was an embarrassment to the world on how we treated our military, who many of whom were injured or killed in the conflict. So I urge your strong support of this bill.
Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Juan Cerdeh's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 27 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Senate File 27 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 30 from Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department, creating a fund for the deposit of monies from grazing fees at military training areas as specified, authorizing the Adjutant General to administer the fund and expend monies for range management operations and requiring annual reports, providing for a continuous appropriation, providing for a sunset date, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 30, engrossed Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund, respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Daves Wannitzer, signed by Daves Wannitzer, Chairman, and further reviewed by your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 30, engrossed Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund. Respectfully report same back to the House for the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Stebson, one no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Thank you. You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with recommendation that Senate File Number 30 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And, Mr. Chairman, we have two standing committees, one from our standing committee, which I would like the sponsor to explain as he explains the bill, but also we have one from the Appropriations Committee, and I believe they would like to address that at the moment.
Okay, so let's take up Standing Committee Amendment Number 2, and that is from House Committee Number 2, Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 30 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, all Committee Number 2 did was add a report to the Joint Appropriations or the Joint Appropriations Committee so they could find out exactly what they're spending as well. And that, with that, I'd ask for the question.
Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2? Question. You've heard the question. We're now voting on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the explanation of the bill and the other Standing Committee Amendment, I would turn it over to Representative Walters.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you today is the Senate File 30, the Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund. And what this does is allow for the grazing of livestock at Camp Guernsey. That's the summation of the bill. The things that you need to remember as we discuss this bill is, first off, this is land that is owned by the state of Wyoming, but it is not state trust land. This is land that is owned by the state of Wyoming for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to train our military folks so that they can be the best equipped when they head into battle. Because it's not state trust land, it's not treated like state trust land, and so it's managed a little bit differently. So what this bill allows, and previous to this, up to about 2009, in that time frame, they would allow livestock grazing there, but it was on a real handshake basis. It wasn't a formal agreement, and it was very hit and miss, you might say. Now they have a very formal process. They've used the University over the Hill to help with some of and the department as well, to help with figuring out AUMs and management practices and best management practices and all of that. And they've came up with some good contracts and good lease agreements for the folks that use this land. And it really benefits the state of Wyoming and the facility as well, because by grazing it prevents it lessens the fire danger. And then in the spring, they do use that facility for fire mitigation training and fire training. And so as they burn off some of those grasses, the grass comes back better for the grazer. And so it's a well-rounded project. Now, what's happened since this has been going the last few years is that the money was all collected from the lessees and sent to the general fund. And then the military department would come to the appropriations and ask for the money back. And they would get the money back to put back into improving the facility. Now, last year, they didn't get the money back. The downside of that is that they had a contract with these people that leased the land that said, we'll fix your fences, we'll fix your roads, we'll make sure you have adequate water and do all of these activities, but they didn't have the money to do that because the money did not come in. And so this bill was an interim bill. It establishes this account. It allows for the military department to charge for these leases and then put that money right back into improvements on the ground. And so a few numbers to keep in mind. If you're leasing land from the federal government here in the state of Wyoming, it costs you, up until last year, it was about $1.35. This year it's going to be $1.69. But what you get for that money is the grass, and that's it. And typically you get some of the poorer ground that is out there. There's very rarely any water on federal lands, and usually not much for viewing and things like that. So you don't get a whole lot. And if for fencing and anything else, it's up to you, the lessee, to pay for all of that. Now, from the state, you can, and that's for an animal unit, I should note. And so from the state for an animal unit, the price has gone up this year for the state as well, and it'll be $5.54 for the state. From the state, you get possibly a little bit, and this is state trust lands, please mind you. You get a little bit more, the lands there are a lot more, a lot less checkerboarded, a little bit more, productive land possibly, and so you might get a little bit more, but there again, all improvements are up to you, and if you lose that lease, those improvements stay with the land. You can go to a grazing board and try and request some funds, but you're put on a list, and those funds are for very limited use. So if you're rebuilding fences or even just maintaining fences, that's out of you, the lessee's pocket. Now, on a private basis, private leases are all over the board, but the average private lease in the state of Wyoming is about $23.50, and that's right in line with what the Camp Guernsey leases are. And the reason that those private leases change is it's based on the amount of work that the private lessee will do for the leasor. And so if you have it can go up from there, and so if the lessee is going to do a lot of the work, then you'll pay a little bit more. If the lessee is going to do none of the work, then you're going to pay accordingly. And so here in Camp Guernsey, they do all of the work. They maintain all of the fences. The only work they do not do is they do not put out the salts and minerals, and they do not move the livestock. But beyond that, they do everything else. They fix the water, they fix the fences, and they do it all. And they rebuild the fences. And so this is a very fair rate for doing all of that. Building fence in the state of Wyoming from new costs about $2 a mile, roughly $13,000, or $2 a foot, roughly $13,000 a mile, right in that that range. And the military department acquired a new piece of property a few years back, and they have quite a bit of exterior fence that needs to be replaced. That's where these funds go. So it really makes sense. It's a good neighborly thing to do to work with the folks in the area, and I would hope that you would vote aye on this bill, and I'd love to take any questions.
Representative Walters, I think why don't we any other discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Do you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do apologize. I didn't bring that up. So the folks down the hall, they tried to on Committee Amendment 1. Make sure I'm in the right place here. So we extended the sunset date in this bill in our committee, and the reason we did that is these are 7-year leases that they have, and they come up for renewal next year. And so we wanted to make sure that as they were renewed, that they would have a full 7 years on their lease before that sunset date would come into effect. We didn't want to change the game with 2 years to go on these folks' leases. I fully believe that the sunset date is a great idea. I think we need to have it in there. We just wanted to make sure that that date followed in line with what the leases would be. And the other thing that we have done, make sure I have that correctly, is on the folks down at the other end of the hall thought that the state that we should collect, and the general fund should collect at least what the state trust lands generate for the state of Wyoming back to our general fund, and then everything above and beyond that would go to the military department. And as I discussed earlier, and the reason we chose in the committee to delete their change is this is not state trust lands. This is military department lands. Think of them as a private entity, and so it makes sense that that private entity operate as a private entity. And what the state gets in return for their investment is we get an absolutely excellent trained force that we send out there. So with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
Discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to divide Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 with lines 1 through 4 being Division 1, lines 5 through 7 being Division 2.
Okay. Chair rules that is divisible.
Mr. Chairman, I think overall I don't have a real problem with the bill as engrossed, and I do not have a problem with Division 2 with extending the sunset date. What I do have a concern with, and if we'll look on page 2, and then also from the explanation of the bill, keeping that in mind, is we're going to lease these lands, and we just said we're leasing them at private lease rates, which I believe the comment was around $23.50 is the state average. And anytime anyone leases their property, they have the operation costs associated with their property, but they're also trying to get a return on their capital, trying to make some money off of that as well. And what's happening here with the way the bill came over to us is we accommodated that. We said, yeah, hey, we know there's operating costs, and we'll let you go ahead and set up a procedure where you can go ahead and get your operating costs. You don't have to come to the legislature and ask for them every 2 years. We'll let you take your operating costs. However, we're going to recognize these are state lands. And so the profit from that to go to the general fund. And what we're saying that profit is the state average for our state leases, which is more than the $5, the $5.54. I think that might be the minimum. I didn't quite follow that. So we're asking for a small return on this capital, so to speak, on this land to the general fund, and then we're allowing the department to go ahead and use the rest of those funds to move through and do the repairs, the maintenance, and some of the improvements on it. So I don't think that's appropriate to give them the whole thing, give them full discretion to it, because there's a profit built in there. And we're just turning that over to them. That's not what we do. It's supposed to come back to this body and go through the appropriation process. So as I'm standing here procedurally, I guess I would ask us to debate Division 1 first, and I've already done that.
We're on Division 1. Further discussion on Division 1. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage you to support Division 1 as it stands. The two things. One, the profit to the state of Wyoming is in our well-trained force that we get from utilizing these lands and making sure they're well-maintained. But also, when I explain that the state average is $23.50, I can speak from experience and tell you that the lands that we lease, we certainly lease for more than that if we're expected to do more than that. And at $23.50, I would argue that there is no profit built into that, that is just to cover all expenses necessary on a state average. And these leases do vary among, as there are, I think, nine different lessees at this Camp Guernsey. However, I don't believe they're building in profit in this their pricing. I believe they're building in just enough to make sure that they can make sure they do all of the upkeep and maintenance that is required of them based on their lease contracts, and that is necessary to make sure that the facility and the property stays in a good and well-maintained manner. So I would encourage you to support Division Number 1 of the Standing Committee Amendment. And like I said, I don't think there is an excess of profit. If there were an excess of profit, that would be appropriate. And that's also why we have the sunset date on this. You look at their list of items, you know, in seven, eight, nine years from now, they may have completed most of those items. They may have an excess, and this fund may be able to be done away with, or a change in the way we're doing it may be necessary at that time. But for the time being, leave it as is and vote in favor of this current amendment.
Any other discussion on Division 1? Chairman Zwanitz or Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm totally aware that we're only on Division 1, but I want to let you know what the thought process was in our committee, and it also involves Division 2 a little bit, so I'm going to try to keep my comments to Division 1. But our thoughts were, ladies and gentlemen, that we wanted them to get the full benefit of the grazing fees for the first, originally 5 years. We extended it to seven based on the grazing leases. But that's because we've purchased an awful lot of land up there. There's tons and tons and miles of fence that need to be repaired. There's water projects that need to be repaired. But they have to come and report to us every year, and then we have a sunset date in 7 years. And I would think at that time, as they come back, then we would be better able to say, hey, look, we need to have a little bit of this money come back to the state. So the thought process that we used was let them keep all the money through maybe the first 7 years, unless the reporting process comes back. And with the other standing committee amendment, it comes both to appropriations and also to the transportation committee. And any time between now and the sunset, we can say, whoa, you know, yeah, you've got plenty of money. We want you to start paying us back. So I would encourage you voting for both of these amendments, because I think they're good amendments, and that was the reasoning in our committee.
Any further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got some questions on this, just because, you know, we're making some decisions without some hard numbers and some hard data. And so to me, it's hard to make those kind of decisions when you do that. It's my understanding that the current lease, they get just over $400,000 a year on the lease. And so I'd like to know if that's accurate. The number of state acres that are being leased, I think it's well over 60,000 acres, but I'm not sure. I'd like to know what that number is. And and obviously these are lands that were purchased by state funds, and so basically we provide the property used for Camp Guernsey, but other than buying the property, then do we have any other return other than the fact that we're training soldiers that are up there? And then also what I'm really curious about is, by the statutory change, how much exactly more money will they get per year in order to do the work that they would like to do? And in appropriations, they provide us some rough documentation that they wanted to do $250,000 in road work in the first year of the next biennium, And it seems to me that on ranch property that's all AUM, to put in $250,000 in road upgrades doesn't make it sound like it's an agricultural enterprise. It sounds like they're just going in and doing some upgrading because they have the funds to do it. And so, you know, it's a wonderful program. It's a great thing. But in order just to say, hey, we're going to give you all the money, and if you think about that over 7 years, over $400,000, you know, that's giving them $5 million to go in and do all the upgrades they want. But it's not necessarily related to the agricultural use or necessarily related to fences. And we do provide a service for them. The grazing thing actually makes it a safer place in terms of fire danger. So I think we ought to make these decisions based upon full knowledge of everything that's going on and where those funds are expended. And getting any type of return, we ought to get at least some type of return on our dollars. So, and we'll provide a handout, I think, when we come up in third reading so you can see these numbers. But I just suggest we make educated decisions on this versus it's a good thing, bad thing.
Any other discussion on division number one? Representative Walters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good representative that just spoke was correct. It's, last year they made just about $400,000 over the entirety of the leases that they had. They do have a list of projects. They know where they want to spend this money. They know how to spend it. And they don't intend to spend it all or get all of their projects done the first year. Some of these projects, the maintenance, some of those things, the reason that they want to do it as opposed to having the lessee doing those things is it allows them to have control of the property so that they can have cattle in places that it's okay.
Pardon me.
When they're firing rockets and things like that, and move those cattle at other times, and make sure that there's not some random cowhand out there fixing fences and doing things like that when they're firing mortars and things out there. Ensuring that they have the control of the property like this is what allows them to make sure it's a good, safe place and good and safe for the use of these lessees. In terms of the project list and the improvements and stuff like that, I guess that would be for your own discretion to decide if they're worthy projects or not. Being in the business, I think anytime you can improve your land, it's a worthy project, and so and you can use the money that you generated to improve that land as a worthy project. In terms of having hard numbers, until you really know how much you've generated, it's tough to have a hard number as to how much you can spend and which projects you're going to take on. And so I think that's somewhat of a tough one. It's sort of a chicken and an egg kind of a dilemma there. But I do think the department does a good job of prioritizing. And as we said, we have a sunset on this. It does get reported to the appropriations as well as the transportation military committees so that there is some oversight, there are some controls in place. And if in a few years we see that their list is shrinking and their funds are growing, we can't always revisit this issue. So I would encourage you to vote in favor of both these amendments.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, back on Division One, I'd encourage us to vote no, and I think what we've heard for an explanation supports that. The simple fact is if we said there's not enough here for profit, then we need to charge more on the lease. And I'm aware of a lot of private leases, and $23 may be the state average, but if it's good grazing ground and with this much care and all the maintenance that's being done by the military department, those leases can easily reach in excess of $30 and up. So there's profit there. So I guess that's the policy decision. We go ahead and lease this out and let them go ahead and spend all that money, or do we say no? How the bill came over in gross was a reasonable approach to this. That is, you pay the state average over to the state as part of the return on capital. You can keep the rest. You don't have to come to us here for this next 7 years and ask us for the money to do these improvements. We'll give you the discretion to do that and report to us. So with Division One, I think it's good policy for us to vote no.
On Division One, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and for Division One and the bill, I think it just would serve us well to allow them for this period of time till the sunset to figure out what they're doing and what they need to spend money on, and I just think we ought to just support the division, just let it go.
Okay, any other discussion on Division One? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just wanted to mention that Camp Guernsey gives a lot of give back in not necessarily grazing fees, but into the amount of people that show up into that economic development in that area. They also work very strongly with that county. These grazing leases obviously provide fire protection. They also provide people being able to get their fire certificates, and the list goes on and on. And there is quite a list of projects, especially based on the fact that they acquired a lot of land to get their training system up to where they want it. And so I would ask you to vote for both of these. Let them get it started, let it get going, and we'll be looking at it every year. If there's a problem, then we'll come back and get it changed. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, question being called, and we're on Division 1 of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and that is lines 1 through 4. Question being called. All those in favor of Division 1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. Okay, amendment number, division number one has been adopted. We're on division two. Any discussion on division two? Representative Greer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, after that vote, then I would encourage you to defeat division two. If we're going to go a trial process, why are we kicking it out 7 years? Let's just go 5 years if we're going to turn the checkbook over so we can come back and look at this again in a little shorter time frame.
Okay, any other discussion? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before this amendment was divided, I tried to explain that, so I'll do it again. This is to coincide with the lease agreement. So these leases are 7-year leases. They're getting renewed in 2016, and so this would allow, and they're a 7-year lease, so this would just simply match up with the end of those leases. It didn't make sense to myself, and I was able to convince the rest of our committee that it didn't make sense to leave somebody hanging on the last couple of years of their lease by us changing the rules mid-game there. So it just made sense to match those up at the same time. I recognize it does extend it out a little bit, but we still have the oversight as these folks are reporting to two different committees within this body, so we certainly have plenty of time to examine, re-examine, and re-examine again how that's going. And so I would encourage you to stick with the committee amendment and leave that in place.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would push back on that. First of all, we're implementing this while there is an existing lease and changing it, so that doesn't seem to be a problem. And we don't really have oversight. If you look at the bill, it says it gives the sole authority in a rulemaking to the superintendent at Count Guernsey, so all we can do is see what they're spending on. We don't have any ability to change it under the statute. And if we find they're spending money excessively, when we do see those numbers, we ought to be able to say, hey, slow down. So either we have to come in and change the date then, or we got to come in and amend the statute. So being stuck to the lease, to me, there's no logic to that. So on and against the amendment.
Any other discussion on Division 2? Representative Eklund.
Well, one of the reasons it's already been mentioned, the lease was set up on a 10-year plan, and the money from leasing went into the general fund. There has been appropriation out of the general fund to fix up, do the improvements that were promised by Camp Guernsey to the lessees. And the appropriation then was stopped. And so as far as the amendment goes, I guess it's not essential, but I think it helps the planning process so that you know you've got money to fix fences and keep your promises in the lease. That part of it, I think, is correct. As far as the bill goes, it's essential we get something done because we made promises to some people who are leasing this, and we need to keep those promises. The other part I would say is I disagree. I don't think this is going to be a break-even deal. It should make money, and during the bid, it should come up in the bidding process. It should be a fair way of figuring that out. And I think eventually there will be money coming back into the general fund. But for a couple of years, they've had nothing to operate on. They haven't worked roads. They haven't fixed fence. And it might take a while to backfill that fund.
Any other discussion on Division 2? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Chair. It was just discussed a few moments ago that we're operating already, and this happened. And this did happen, and last year when the military department went to the appropriations and asked for their money back so that they could continue to operate as they had been and didn't get that. That really fouled up things within the lease because they had made commitments to that lessee and said, we're going to do this and do that and do a few other things. And when that money didn't come through, then those were hard tasks to accomplish, and some of which didn't get accomplished. And so it really proves why we need to make sure that this sunset date matches up with our lease dates, so that we as a state and the military department can honor the commitments we have. So I encourage you to support the amendment.
Okay, we have more discussion on Division 2. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. I want to push back on that. We had the good general in the Appropriations Committee, and not once did he mention a backtrack on a promise or an obligation or that they didn't have the funds to do this. That's just simply not the testimony, and it's inaccurate. And if this goes out 5 years and if we find he's got a slush fund of $4 or $5 million and he's spending on things that are just upgrades because for the benefit of Camp Guernsey and not for the benefit of the state of Wyoming and not using our dollars, our state lands properly, we should be able to do something about it. On and against the amendment.
Okay, any further discussion? Question being called. Now we're voting on Division 2, which is lines 5 through 7 on House Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Division 2 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. I think my hearing's going bad. Okay, so Division Number 2 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things to add to what the good representative from District 38 has said. This is a huge parcel of land. It's over 4% of the land in the county with the snowman on the license plate. So it's important to us that it be well managed. It has 9 lessees, and it's a big part of their operation. So we think the military department needs some money to be able to fulfill the commitments they've made to those folks and to do a good job of range management on that property. And one comment that was made about, you know, there's going to be a big road project or whatever, and what was that for? I think some of this has kind of a dual purpose, that it's managed with an eye towards a time when it might play even a bigger role in the maneuvers and the training initiative that goes on at the camp. So I think it's a good bill, speaking in favor of it.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Zwanitzer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate file number 30 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate file 30 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again until 2:15. 2:15.
Okay, committee announcements. I'll do the first committee announcements. Mr. Speaker, your Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 73 will meet 1/2 hour ago in Senate 13. And, Mr. Speaker, your Joint Conference Committee on the Budget will meet in about 10 minutes in Room 204. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, the Joint Conference Committee on House Bill 23 will meet today on adjournment in Senate Room 11, S11. Okay, Representative Swanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet immediately in H-18 to hear the following three bills. Senate File 50, Tribal Liaisons, Senate File 118, Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities, and Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants. To the members of corporations, I know I told you you could have lunch, but if you'd all come to the committee first, we'll try to get everybody to have some food at the Mining Association and make it back to keep a quorum.
Okay, Representative Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your conference committee number 1 on House Bill 22, the Veterans License Plates, will meet immediately up in the House Transportation Room, H-17.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Labor Committee will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment, in room H-17 to discuss Senate File 85, Adult Foster Care Pilot Project.
Vice Chairman Kasparek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Minerals Committee number 9 will meet tomorrow, February 25th at 8 a.m. in H-18 to consider Senate File 130 engrossed. And, Mr. Chairman, can I take a privilege of the floor?
Go ahead. Privilege granted.
You're all cordially invited to a Friends of Coal and Wyoming Mining Association luncheon down in the Herschler Atrium. So, grab a lunch, go down and visit with the folks. Thanks.
Okay, Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, upon adjournment to hear two bills, Senate File 74 and Senate File 91. We'll also look at the revised bill of AD, or Senate File 8. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. The House will, the committee of the whole will rise and sit again at 2:15.